Steve and Jill here.
Hi.
Welcome to the Land Academy Show, entertaining land investment talk. I'm Steve and Jack Butella.
And I'm Jill DeWitt, coming to you from sizzling Scottsdale, Arizona. Soon we'll be saying that a lot.
Today, Jill and I talk about Land Academy Deal Funding 101 and how deal funding works. Yesterday, we talked about private equity and private lending and the basis of that and why I think it's the best way. We think it's the best way to raise capital to get deals done when you don't have your own money. Jill's going to go walk us through the mechanics of when somebody sends her a deal, how she chooses it, how she analyzes it, why she says yes, why she says no. Maybe I'll actually submit a couple of fictitious deals to you and you can say, you're an idiot for this and don't ever call me again. Or
yeah, I will happily play that game.
Happily do this deal like right now. In fact, let's all stop what we're doing and fund it.
Got it.
Before we get into it, let's take a question posted by one of our members on the landinvestors.com online community. It's free. If you're already with us in Land Academy, join us on Discord. It's nothing short of amazing.
Anthony wrote, in using the red, yellow, green test, I have found massive differences in days on market. I searched and found the base formula for days on market. It's a 12-month sold over active for sale, then divided by 365. So let's say there were 3,000 properties sold in the last 12 months, and there are 500 for sale now. So 3,000 divided by 500 is 6, divided by 365 divided by 6, we got it, is 60.8 days on market. Zillow, Realtor, and Redfin all have different numbers for days on market. How do you guys account for the variance?
This is a very, very important question. And it doesn't just apply to real estate or days on market. When you have data sets from different sources, it's very important not to mix them up. However, let's just pick on Redfin. However, Redfin came about having properties in their data set, both for sale and sold, is the same for sale and sold. But if you just look at for sale property in Redfin and then sold property in Zillow, it's an apples to oranges situation and you're mixing up two non-like kind data sets with different definitions. I don't mean to nitpick here, but this is actually pretty important because you're spending money on sending mail out based on data. So it's very important to just apples to apples it. So great, Jack, Steve, why are they different then? The real question is why are there three sources of data? I kept them separate. They're apples to apples to apples, all three. Why are they so different? Because the sources of data for Zillow brags about the fact that they have all kinds of data in their data set for properties. They could be Jill and I posting a property without a real estate agent as a for sale for owner. They could be the MLS. There's all kinds of places that you can get data to do this. Redfin goes the opposite way. They only have data sets in very specific areas based on which MLSs. There's 300 or 400 MLSs, believe it or not, little local ones all over the country that roll up into the National Association of Realtors. So there's only certain local MLSs that participate with Redfin. And why is that? Because Redfin's not really interested in rural areas. They're really interested in urban areas where there's huge high volume of transactions. That doesn't help us as much because we buy rural vacant land. And where that line cuts off, just imagine a boundary of the MLS is all geography based. So where one ends and one starts could be in the middle of a zip code. It could be in the middle of a county. It could be in the, so there's really, that data sets are not equal. And Realtor.com, which is kind of the, it's kind of the Empire State Building of all of this. All that data rolls up to them, but they will not allow any type of data sources from anyone except listed property on the MLS from local MLSs. So yeah, you get different data. Here's my suggestion to do it all three. If all three are like, all three come out green, you said the red, green, yellow test, then send some mail there.
That's a good idea. I love that we talk about that a lot. We just talked about last week on the ladies group about mixing data. Like say some people, I can see how this would happen. I'm cruising along and using Zillow for everything. Or let's just say Realtor, one of the more pickier ones, Realtor or Redfin. And I'm like, shoot, this zip code, I don't have any numbers. I'm going to jump over to Zillow. And I'm going to use Zillow's and plug that in. So now I'm comparing this zip code, this zip code, realtor, 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 Zillow, realtor, realtor. And they're not really going to be accurate. So
take that a step further. Let's say there's no data on all three. Then you start doing alternative sources like landandfarm.com, landwatch.com, and some other, some of the more, I like Hickey rule, for sale by owner types of properties or investor properties. And so those data sets are not as fun or reliable or easy to deal with, but you can still pull them. It takes a little more time, and they do have a lot, a pretty substantial amount of data in some rural areas. It's good for us to get a gauge. None of this is perfect. It's really important to know this. Yeah. This is very hard for certain personality types to understand. No, I mean, just like, Jill's a pilot. I'm going to pick on Jill.
Okay, you know,
she wants everything to be perfect. She expects everything to be perfect, and it's just not like that.
Really?
And this business, or maybe it's us. It's probably us.
Right.
Attracts extremely intelligent.
That's true.
You know, engineering, accounting type technical people, or developer, you know, tech developer type personalities. You know, and Jill and I have, to some degree, have that type of personality, and that's, it's a strange personality. We expect stuff to go the way that it's going to go, and we expect the data to be right, and we expect stuff to get done on time. It's almost to the point to where it's a fault. Part of what makes us so successful, all of this, and everybody in it, is a chill out, just a little bit of a chill out attitude where you say, all right, here's three data sets. They're off. Okay, I get it. I'm going to take my data set weirdo OCD hat off, and I'm going to put on my art hat, or beret, or whatever type of hat it is. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to say, I get it. These data sets are not the same. I'm going to kind of eyeball it, and I'm going to use the data and still send out a mailer. And, you know, there's no equation for this where it's done and it's a formula. And, you know, it's after the clinical trial and the drug gets released. It's just not how this is. And it keeps a lot of people out of the business in a good way.
That's funny.
It's not the stock market.
Right.
You can look at, you can get more data on a stock than you could ever imagine.
Right.
Today's topic, Land Academy Deal Funding 101, how deal funding works. This is the meat of the show. I'm Brand, can I role play with you?
Of course.
I'm brand new.
Okay.
I send a bunch of mail out.
Yep.
Do everything I'm supposed to do.
Yep.
Deal comes back. It's 10 acres.
Okay.
I have a signed purchase agreement for $38,000.
Okay.
Here, Jill, what do I do? Do the deal. I said you'd do the deal. That's why I joined.
Uh-huh. That's not how it works. Could you imagine?
I have other purchase agreements.
Every signed purchase agreement, you just submit to deal funding to see what happens. Three of those, and or not even that. One of those. Well, you're just, well, here's what's going to happen. It's not going to get to me, number one. My team's going to go, that's nice, and send you back a list of questions like, what's the plan here? That's good. You want to try it again?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Deal funding doesn't mean we do any work. We're just acting as the bank.
Right.
You're going to do all the work. If you submit a deal to us, you better have every single answer about this deal as if you were going to spend your own money. That's not what this is all about. What this is about is, okay, here, I'm brand new. I send out a mailer. A deal comes back. It's 10 acres. It's $38,000. I spent two entire days before I submit this to Jill.
Yeah, trying to kill it. Trying to make sure I'm not seeing something that's not there.
It's got great access.
Uh-huh.
All the surrounding properties are valued at $122,000. Here's all the historical sales in the immediate area.
True. Good.
There's very few properties, land-like kind properties, if any, for sale in the area. It doesn't just have access. It's had multiple point access on county roads. The property's flat, and I had multiple conversations with the county planning and zoning. If it's in a city, I talked to city planners. It's buildable. It's zoned for agriculture. And here are the five things I can put on it, according to all the data that I researched.
Mm-hmm.
A mobile home. A stick-built house. It's zoned agriculture, so I can grow cherries and marijuana, but not corn. So all this, and I lined up a realtor to get it sold. The realtor's telling me it can list it for $120,000 today and sell it probably in 2 weeks. In fact, he's got three people that want to buy it. Do you want to do that deal?
So, yeah, here's the point. The point is, you're chomping at the bit, you just don't have the cash. You've done everything. Like, you're staring at your wife's car in the driveway. This is how you should think about it. You like that? You're toying with...
There's a pawn shop across the street.
You're toying with selling your wife's car to get the money because you know, like, holy cow, we got to buy this really fast, or submitting it to deal fund. That's where you are. That's how it should be. You're like, oh my goodness, I'm all the way in.
Deal funding, it hasn't happened recently, probably because we do shows like this, and we are really, you know, we say this jokingly, but I'm going to use the deal funding at when we started deal funding was, hey, mom and dad, is this a good deal?
Right.
Is this a good deal? How about this one? Is this one good? Is this one good? And you just submit. There are people that are no longer with us. Mm-hmm. That submit every single transaction that they came back just, and they didn't want to do any work. They're kind of just, they should be trading stock is what they should be doing.
Yeah, well, we solve that real quick. My team jumps in and it doesn't even get to me. They're just like, hey, I need information. Do you have a signed purchase agreement? No matter what, the very, very minimum is you have to sign a purchase agreement. Otherwise, you don't really know if you have a deal. Even though on the phone they say, yeah, I accept your offer, and you submit it, nope. It needs to be signed in paper. I have some buy-in that I know we can really move forward. The best possible situation, and this has happened to me several times. You submit it to me, you put it on Land Tank, and somebody beats me to it. Then you know you had a great deal, by the way. So I've had that where I'm like, I'm looking at it, thinking about it. Maybe I'm busy, took me a day to get back to you and get my little work in there. And then and someone says, oh, sorry, Jill, somebody else already funded it. I'm like, good for you.
That's fantastic. Uh-huh.
That's what it should be. So don't wait for me, too. I want you to do that. Submit it to me and put it on there, too.
That's why we created this. So there were some people that are, again, no longer in Land Academy that got real competitive about running around to all the members trying to befriend them so that they can get every single deal. And it just becomes, you know, they brought an unwelcome element of competitiveness mm-hmm. within our group, and they needed to leave. So that's not what this is. It's not a Wall Street sweat through your suit 22-hour workday. This is, there's a lot of people with a lot of money in Land Academy. That's why we created, and you know, I think we're going to talk about Land Tank this week. So, you know, and there's some deals that we won't do, but other members will do immediately. Mm-hmm. There are some members that'll do any deal within mm-hmm. reason if you have all your stuff in a row. Mm-hmm. That's not us. Jill and I are 80% education and 20% funding. Mm-hmm. There are some people that are 100% funding and will look at any deal if they know they can make $22,000 on it or some number like that. They take
it's
a more
over
of a
the
number.
Place.
Yeah.
And someone will help you. Some will say, mm-hmm. hey, here's my marketing thing. Here's the steps at work, whatever it is. I want to back up and answer this real quick, just the basics. So because this is Land Academy deal funding 101, you know how it works. Okay. I think you got the gist of what kind of deals you should be submitting. It should be, you're done, you're in. Like I said, you're staring at your wife's car.
It's hilarious.
You're about to pawn something to get the money, but you're like, that's not the right thing to do. I'm going to bring in someone, and I'm going to split some of the profit. I'm going to give up some of the profit. I'm going to use somebody else's money. Great. So what do I do? So you go to landinvestors.com. And this is for, you don't have to be a Land Academy member, by the way, to do that. There's a question in there that says, are you a member? How many deals have you done? You know, what's your plan here? Just fill that in. Because I have funded deals for non-Land Academy members. Again, we mean it. No good deal should go to waste. So you go there and you fill out and ask for everything. You know, all the property information. Give me everything that you've got. If you've got some comps, give me some links in there. If you've got a signed purchase agreement, upload it so I can see it. We can confirm it all. We know really it's real kind of thing. It stays internally. That doesn't go anywhere but internally, really, to me, my team and to me. It goes goes straight into Airtable. My team reviews it to make sure you filled in all the information. And if it's all filled in, got a purchase agreement in there, then they're gonna tag me, and then I go look at it. So, and then what am I gonna do? I'm going to do my homework. I look at it like it's my deal. Like, would I buy this? I'm looking at it, you know, so I don't want you to, please don't use me as, oh, Jill will catch something. I want you to do your best ahead of time. But I am a good, if there's something there, I'm a second pair of eyes. I'll make sure, you know. I have one right now that I'm like, why didn't she sell this before? It's checking all the boxes. It's land. It's got mobiles on it. It sounds great, but it's also been for sale off and on since 2008. So So I'm even doing the test. I'm doing one last test for reason right now, and we haven't decided, you know, what's really going to happen with this yet.
I
wouldn't do that
too. I know what you're talking about. I passed on it.
So, anyway, the point is, so I'll go through and I'll check the A's, check the access. I'm not going to do the taxes and all that good stuff. I trusted you on that. I'm kind of looking sure just to make sure the numbers work, because it's at the end of the day, it's either my money or our money that are going to it. So if you want me even just to do 50% of the deal, or Jill, I've got all but the last $25,000, something like that, please submit it. It's not a black or white thing. And I actually prefer to fund deals where you have something in the game. Like, Jill, I've got $5,000 put into it. So here's how I propose we do the split. That's great. And give me your suggestions. It doesn't have to be 50-50. If you're like, hey, I'm going to put 75% into this, I only need you to fund the last $25,000. I'm doing everything. So I want to get 75, you get 25, whatever it is, you know, what you suggest, I'll sure look at that and consider that. Absolutely. I'd be nuts not to. Everybody's going to win here. So once it passes my tests, there might be one or two questions that I will send through to you. We call you the manager because you submitted the deal. Send you as a manager, and then I'll just say approved. I had one the other day. It was so funny. This guy is new. He's not new to this. He came from somebody else's program, but he's new to Land Academy, and he submitted this deal. And I'm like, what the heck? It's like fantastic. So wait, let me take it a step further. So I go, wait a minute. He was going to sell it himself. And I said, hey, so I wrote a note back from my team to pass on to him. I said, hey, would you consider running this by a broker that I have been working with within this area for a while now? Just get his eyes on it and see what he thinks. And then would you be open to maybe even letting him do the deal? Because I know this guy, he'll make it easy on both of us. So he called the guy. The guy answered back. I think we're buying it for like, I don't know, $25,000 plus escrow fees. And then our guy said, I can sell it for 60 easy, between like 65 and 89. He's like, let's list it for 89 and da-da-da. And I think we can get, probably it'll be somewhere in the middle there. I'm like, done, done, and done. And it was so funny because I just bypassed my team. Usually I write a note. I was so excited on this one. So I bypassed my team and I just flat out called the guy. I've never even spoken to him. I'm like, are you a member? You know, like, I just joined. I'm like, well, welcome to Land Academy. I'm calling to tell you absolutely yes. And how fast can we get this deal done? Kind of thing. And we just had a good laugh about it. I'm like, keep doing what you're doing. I think his name is Preston. And we had such a good laugh and a good chat. And
good.
You never know. I might call you and go, heck yeah, hurry up. This is a run to the bank thing. Anyway, so once I approve the deal, you'll get back our little contract's like one or two pages, just kind of spelling out, you know, if it's my money, if it's your money, whatever the combination is, whatever, who's in charge of each task. Usually it's you're going to do the marketing, you're going to pay for the marketing. If you want to see this contract also, go to landinvestors.com and go on the deal funding, and you can get an example and see just how simple this contract is. You'll have my name on there, your name on there, you know, black and white, so we all know how it's going to go. And then and when it sells, you know, how would the money's going to be split? So you'll get that quick little thing back. And then I expect you to open escrow and you to kind of manage it. You are the manager of the whole deal. My team is just there to submit whatever paperwork that escrow needs. Like, my stuff's going usually in the name of one of our companies, and that escrow company might want to see operating agreement or something for the companies. My team's all ready for that. So they'll do that. So my team is not babysitting it and making sure it gets closed. You are. And my team's not babysitting the seller and making sure they're happy and on the same page. You are. So I want to make sure you know that. And that's like at least twice a week, touch base with your seller and touch base with your title agent. And then when it comes time to do the bank wire, that anything signing the bank wire, my team's going to review it all, give it their blessing, and then hand it to me. But I want you to do that first too. You are really running the show. So hopefully you found any mistakes in there, and then it's all corrected between you and the title company. Then it gets to my team, and then it ultimately gets to me. And I'm wiring the money. So it's like kind of three conversations is really how it goes between us and you. And you're, because I'm just the bank. You don't want, I'm not here messing with your deal.
It's three conversations, a little bit of time passes, we get a check.
Yeah. And so then
that's,
now
that's
it's
how
done.
Much we should be involved.
It closes, and now you're running with it. Mm-hmm. So, and then at the end, I really, in a perfect world, I'm out of your hair. I'm not in your hair. So I'd love for you to just, really, it's kind of a call that gets to me, which is, hey, we just got an offer for, you know, 82. That works for me. Does that work for you? And,
yes.
And most of the time, I'm going to say, heck yes.
Almost yeah. never will say no.
Yeah, exactly.
I can't remember if I ever had.
Because no. They've all been good. I've had a few. Well, I'm not going to.
There's a couple times
There's a couple
no.
times I'm like, that's then you and I are splitting $2,000. Why are we doing that? We should be splitting way more than that. And I'll help you with that. So, and you can go ahead. And you know what? You as the manager have the, I would like you to kill those deals before that. You know, if it's we're splitting $2,000 or thought we're splitting $50,000, please just go ahead and tell the agent no, and it doesn't even need to get to me because you know. But what's in it when it's in that range, you're like, you know what, Jill, I think we should take this one. It's been 3 weeks, a lot of interest. This guy's serious. Let's go. And then at the end, again, you're opening the escrow, you're running the show. At the very end with the final HUD one, you know, showing your payout, my payout, you're reviewing it, gets to my team, and that's
we
it.
All get paid.
Exactly. Am There's I talking a, too a, long or am I sharing too much?
Well, we've gone way over.
Okay. I get excited about this.
I know you do. And we have a couple more shows this week on this that are offshoots of this topic. It's all about funding. It's funding right. week. Last week we did a show, and we'll leave on this, called Leveraging Time versus Leveraging Money. Mm-hmm. If you're seeking out money, you must have a lot of time. And we don't have any time. We have a ton of money. So we choose to leverage money. And believe me, when I started out, it was the opposite. I had a lot of time, very little expertise, but I learned and learned and learned and learned and learned. And it converted it to money eventually. Mm-hmm. It took me 30 years. It doesn't need to take you 30 years. You can do it in a few years.
Right. Happy to join us today. 5 days a week, you can find us right here on The Land Academy Show.
Tomorrow, the episode on The Land Academy Show is called An Interview with Longtime Member Kevin Farrell. You are not alone in your real estate ambition. Kevin's always a blast to talk to.
Mm-hmm. It was fun talking to him. You may have had a consulting call with him. You may have seen him as a moderator.
He's very loud and involved in the Land Academy community. Mm-hmm. Very smart.
Very helpful and been with us for years. And there's a lot of, Kevin brings a lot of experience. We didn't talk about it. We recorded this the other day. We didn't talk a lot about his past life, but what I love is Kevin has life experience and land experience. And that makes him, I think, a really good teacher. If you're interested in learning more about what we do, check out landacademy.com. or houseacademy.com. We provide the education, tools, and support you need to be flipping property like the pros.
We are Steve and Jill. Information
and inspiration
to buy undervalued property.